Our Torah portion this week is really two combined portions, one called Nitzavim, dealing with Deuteronomy 29 to about the end of 30, and it means one's standing, because it starts off, actually, the Torah portion sheets that you may have say verse 9, but it's actually verse 10 that says, you know, these, the ones standing here, are about to enter into the covenant. And Vayelech, which means then he went out. And it's basically Deuteronomy 31. And I wanted to just read quite a bit today, because this is a fascinating section. Chapter 30, Deuteronomy 30, most of it, up till verse 10. And it shall be, when all these words come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you shall bring them back to your heart among all the nations where Yahweh your Elohim drives you. In other words, they should come to mind again when you're scattered. And shall turn back to Yahweh your Elohim, obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your being, you and your children. Then Yahweh your Elohim shall turn back your captivity, or restore you from captivity, and shall have compassion on you. And he shall turn back and gather you from all the peoples where Yahweh your Elohim has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under the heavens, from there Yahweh your Elohim does gather you, and from there he does take you. And Yahweh your Elohim shall bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And he shall do good to you and increase you more than your fathers. And Yahweh your Elohim shall circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your being, so that you might live. And Yahweh your Elohim shall put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you shall turn back and obey the voice of Yahweh, and do all his commands, which I command you today. And Yahweh, your Elohim, shall make you have excess in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your livestock, in the fruit of your ground, for good. For Yahweh turns back to rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to guard his commands and his laws, which are written in this book of the Torah, if you turn back to Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your being. Most of my life, I believed that this applied to Israel, or Jews specifically by blood, who would someday return to the land or be regathered to the land. And I knew that it was definitely a prophecy that the Jewish people I knew really were holding on to. They had phrases that they'd say to one another, such as next year in Jerusalem at certain holidays, and a return to the motherland. And I just want to say that through my studies here, which I'm not going to have time to explore all of, because you can see the number of tabs and verses related to this that I have here, if you ever think that this is only for a group that is Israel, that is not us, who have joined ourselves to Israel or who have taken on this faith, you might be actually deceived by a theology called replacement theology. Replacement theology was instituted around the 1st to 4th centuries, and it was instituted by people who were definitely trying to separate themselves from Judaism in every way possible, and even from the Torah, the Tanakh. In fact, it was a couple of these authors, Origen and Marcion, who divided the scriptures and said, you know what, this is the Old Testament, and it's for the Jews. But we believe in the New Covenant that the Messiah brought us. He did away with the old. He started something new, and we are that. And God has replaced the Jews with the church. Now, that lie is called replacement theology. A lot of us have heard it most of our lives. These passages about the future prophecies of Israel, they're not about a people that isn't us today. It's not about somebody else that isn't after the Messiah and the giving of the Spirit. This is about us. This is about us taking the land. Now, I'm going to run through some of these other passages that I won't have time to explain much, but just let Yahweh tell you what He will through these. Isaiah 43, 5 through 7. And you don't need to follow with me if you don't want. Do not fear, for I am with you. I shall bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. I shall say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, all those who are called by my name, whom I have created, formed, even made for my glory. And he shall bring out a blind people who have eyes, and deaf ones who have ears. Isaiah 54, 7. For a little while, I have forsaken you, but with great compassion I shall gather you. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. For I know the plans I am planning for you, declares Yahweh, plans for peace and not of evil, to give you a future and an expectancy. Let me say something about this passage. It's in the context of bringing the people back from Babylon. Okay? But so many times, these scriptures have prophetic meanings as well. And what he is doing in the physical realm is often a picture of what he is going to do in the spiritual realm. This isn't necessarily out of context, but I just wanted to mention that. 12, then you shall call me and shall come and pray to me, and I shall listen to you, and you shall seek me and shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. Remember Deuteronomy? And I shall be found by you, declares Yahweh, and I shall turn back your captivity and shall gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares Yahweh, and I shall bring you back to the place from which I have exiled you. Start to form a picture of how this is going to go. You'll hear new little things about each of these passages. Jeremiah 31, 8 through 12. See, I am bringing them from the land of the north and shall gather them from the ends of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor, together, a great assembly returning here. With weeping they shall come. That's new. And with their prayers I bring them. I shall make them walk by rivers of waters in a straight way in which they do not stumble. Incidentally, rivers, waters are often teachings. For I shall be a father to Israel and Ephraim. He is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahweh, O nations, and declare it in the islands afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel gathers him and shall guard him as a shepherd his flock. For Yahweh shall ransom Jacob and redeem him from the hand of one stronger than he. And they shall come in and shall sing on the height of Zion and stream to the goodness of Yahweh for grain and for new wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and the herd. And their being shall be like a well-watered garden and never languish again. Jeremiah 32, 37 to 41. See, I am gathering them out of all the lands where I have driven them in my displeasure and in my wrath and in great rage. And I shall bring them back to this place and shall let them dwell in safety. And they shall be my people and I shall be their Elohim. And I shall give them one heart and one way to fear me all the days for the good of them and of their children after them. And I shall make an everlasting covenant with them, that I do not turn back from doing good to them. Wow. And I shall put my fear in their hearts so as not to turn aside from me. And I shall rejoice over them to do good to them and shall plant them in this land in truth with all my heart and with all my being. Ezekiel 11, 16 to 20. Therefore, say, command to Ezekiel, thus said the Master Yahweh, although I have sent them far off among the nations, and although I have scattered them among the lands, yet I was for them a set apart or holy place for a little while in the lands to which they came. Therefore say, thus said the Master Yahweh, and I shall gather you from the peoples, nations, and I shall assemble you from the lands where you have been scattered, and I shall give you the land of Israel. And they shall go there, and shall take away all its disgusting matters and all its abominations from there. And I shall give them one heart and put a new spirit within you. And I shall take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh so that they walk in my laws and guard my right rulings or judgments and shall do them. And they shall be my people and I shall be their Elohim. Ezekiel 20, 34 to 44. And I shall bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the lands where you are scattered with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and wrath poured out. Remember the line about weeping? Now we're hearing about wrath. And yet we also know sometimes that a mighty hand of Yahweh and an outstretched arm is often synonymous with the Messiah and the Word. And I shall bring you into the wilderness of the peoples and shall enter into judgment with you face to face there, as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Mitzrayim, so I shall enter into judgment with you, declares Master Yahweh. And I shall make you pass under the rod and shall bring you into the bond of the covenant, and purge the rebels from among you, and those who transgress against me. From the land where they sojourn, I bring them out, but they shall not come into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. In verse 40, for on my set-apart mountain, on the mountain height of Israel, declares Master Yahweh, there all the house of Israel, all of them in the land shall serve me. There I shall accept them, and there I shall require your offerings, and the first fruits of your offerings. Incidentally, there seem to be offerings, sacrifices here that he is accepting together with all your holy gifts. As a sweet fragrance, I shall accept you when I bring you out from the peoples, and I shall gather you out of the lands where you have been scattered, and I shall be set apart in you or holy in you before the nations. And you shall know that I am Yahweh when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the land for which I lifted my hand in an oath, a promise to give to your fathers. And there you shall remember your ways and all your deeds with which you were defiled, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight because of all the evils that you did. And you shall know that I am Yahweh when I have dealt with you for my name's sake, not according to your evil ways, nor according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares Master Yahweh. One more on this topic, Ezekiel 36, 19 to 31. And I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands. I have judged them according to their ways and their deeds. And when they come to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name, for it was said of them, these are the people of Yahweh, and yet they've gone out of his land. But I had compassion on my set-apart name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus said the Master Yahweh, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my set-apart name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I shall set apart my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am Yahweh, declares the Master Yahweh, when I am set apart before their eyes. And I shall take you from among the nations, and I shall gather you out of all the lands, and I shall bring you into your own land. Wow, did we deserve this? And I shall sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I cleanse you. And I shall give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I shall take the heart of stone out of your flesh and shall give you a heart of flesh and put my spirit within you. And I shall cause you to walk in my laws and guard my judgments and shall do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people, and I shall be your Elohim. And I shall save you from all uncleanness, and I shall call for the grain and increase it, and shall bring no scarcity of food upon you. And I shall increase the fruit of your trees, the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of scarcity of food among the nations. And you shall remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you shall loathe yourselves in your own eyes for your crookedness and your abominations. The question is, as you read all of these passages about being scattered among the nations and called back from among the nations, the question I had is, does that mean us? And I first started down this whole track of, well, maybe Israel that was scattered here and there, bloodlines actually in all the nations. I know the Sephardim, the Sephardic Jews who are of Latin, Spanish descent have discovered actual Jewish DNA in their blood and so on. But as I went looking at who is Israel and who this applies to, I don't see that it matters that much, because there are those of the blood who have departed from the faith. And there are those who have joined themselves to the faith, Ruth and many others, that aren't of the blood. But where is the definition? Where is some of that? And so I want to look at a few of these passages. Romans 9, 24 through 26. Even whom he called, not only us of the Yodim, Jews, but also of the nations, as he said in Hosea 2, I shall call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not my beloved. And it shall be in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living Elohim. And in Romans 11, verses 24 to 27, for if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted, contrary to nature, into a good olive tree. And this is about Gentiles versus Israel, Greeks and so on that he's talking to at the time. Romans, actually. They weren't Greeks. They were Italian. And grafted into a good olive tree. So being Italian wasn't, apparently. How much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? He's talking about the natural Jews. For I do not wish you to be ignorant of the secret, brothers, lest you should be wise in your own estimation, that hardening in part has come over Israel until the completeness of the nations, or Gentile translations, has come in. And to all Israel, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it has been written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion, and he shall turn away wickedness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Back in the Torah, well, okay, we're on the topic here of, does this also apply to us? Is this us, this promised land? Isaiah 56. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who becomes strong in it, guarding the Shabbat lest he profane it, and guarding his hand from doing any evil, keeping the commandments. And let not the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to Yahweh, don't miss that, let not the son of the foreigner, stranger, who isn't blood of Israel, who has joined himself to Yahweh, speaks, saying, Yahweh has certainly separated me from his people. Verse 6, also the sons of the foreigner who joined themselves to Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servants, all who guard the Shabbat and not profane it, and are holding on to my covenant, to them I shall bring to my set-apart mountain, and let them rejoice in my house of prayer. Look at 8. The Master Yahweh who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I gather still others to him besides those who are gathered to him. There is more and more and more of these people who are not originally the blood. Numbers 15, verses 14 to 16. And when a stranger sojourns with you, visits, stays with you, travels, or whoever is among you, throughout your generations, and would make an offering made by fire, a sweet fragrance to Yahweh, as you do, so he does. One Torah is for you of the assembly, and for the stranger who sojourns with you, a law forever throughout your generations, as you are, so is the stranger before Yahweh. One Torah and one right ruling judgment is for you and for the stranger who sojourns with you. There's no question that those of us who have joined ourselves to Yahweh, who keep his ways, the Shabbat and the commandments, are to enjoy this promise. Now, one other objection came to mind. Yeah, but I'll probably never see that in my lifetime. Well, I just have two more here. Just two more. You know the whole concept of almost everything that happened in the people of Israel in the desert, Egypt, and so on, was a physical picture of other things that Yahweh is doing later. You know that the tabernacle was a picture of the sanctuary in the heavenlies, the temple in the heavenlies. We know Yeshua said to Nicodemus, how can you ever understand the heavenly things if you can't understand the physical things? You know, we give our children plastic trucks and cars and planes to learn about real cars and planes later. And if you crash a truck into something, it's going to break it. Well, when we look at life and death, as it is in Revelation, it's the most that we have on this right now, we read that there are two resurrections. One, where the people who are raised apparently reign with Messiah for 1,000 years, and then a second in which those who are raised are judged from books that are opened, and either they're in the book of life or not. In Isaiah 65, we hear the first time that Yahweh will create a new heavens and a new earth. And we read that, and from a lot of our backgrounds, we have taken this black and white, we're thinking he's going to destroy the universe and create a new universe. But I ask you to consider, listening to these, whether or not this new heaven and new earth might be the metaphorical meaning of earth, meaning Israel, in a lot of the Revelation, the earth and standing on a foot on the earth and in the sea usually meant Israel and the nations, and that sort of thing. See if this sounds familiar. Actually, I'm going to start in chapter 20, verse 4 through 6. And I saw thrones. I'm going to reintroduce the first and second resurrections. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them, and the lives of those who had been beheaded because of the witness they bore to Yeshua and because of the commands of Elohim. It's interesting here that these folks are Yeshua and keeping the commandments, and who did not worship the beast nor his image, and did not receive it upon their foreheads or upon their hands, and they lived and reigned with Messiah for 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and set apart is the one having part in the first resurrection. The second death possesses no authority over these, But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from what was written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead. That's not the oceans, that's nations. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Sheol gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Now I want to get to Revelation 21. And the reason that we read all of those passages about the promised land is listen to the amazing correlations about this new heaven and new earth. And I saw a renewed heaven and a renewed earth, for the former heaven and earth had passed away, and the sea is no more. And I, Yohanan, saw the set-apart city, renewed Jerusalem, coming down out of the heavens from Elohim. We're picturing this thing in the sky, alien experience thing in many cases. But I would suggest that this is all metaphorical, and what it means is that the judgment, the ruling, the authority in the city is heavenly. It doesn't mean that a city that we see the bottom of comes down out of the sky and plants itself. I'll tell you why. Because this thing has to be, it says it's about 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. That's basically Jacksonville to Dallas, Texas, square and high. Now, 1,500 miles high off of our planet is quite a bit past our 50-mile atmosphere. Just saying. This is probably meaning something else. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, see, the booth, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men, and we're coming into the time of tabernacles. He shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Elohim shall be with them, and their Elohim, or with them, and be their Elohim. And Elohim shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain. The former things have passed away. And the one who overcomes, verse 7, the one who overcomes shall inherit this, all this, and I shall be as Elohim, and he shall be my son. In 10, and he carried me away to the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the set-apart Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven from Elohim. Chapter 22, 2 through 4. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And no longer shall there be any curse. And the throne of Elohim and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their foreheads. I think the point is that this amazing prophecy of returning to the land is definitely going to be physical, because Yahweh does keep his promises. But we might not see that. Our children might. But even so, this revelation about the spiritual realm, about the new city, the new land, Jerusalem, is very likely illustrated by all of the passages about returning to the land. No more tears, no more famine or food, no more fear, blessing upon blessing upon blessing. These are the blessings that we have if we take on the covenant of Yahweh. And there's one last point. What is the difference between those of us who have joined ourselves to Yahweh and those? Deuteronomy 29, this Torah portion, talks about those who are standing there, the young, the old, the fathers, the children, the wives, everyone. They were challenged to accept the covenant. And if you take the covenant, there are major blessings in this life, the next, and if you're here for it, returning to the land. Major blessings in every way. And if you have experienced that covenant, by the way, covenant can be friendship, fellowship, marriage, a deal, a contract, but mainly it was made by people who liked each other in most cases. A covenant was, we're together forever in whatever way. And if we take on that covenant and then decide to turn away from it to other gods, Deuteronomy 29, bad. Almost unforgivable. Maybe that unforgivable sin it was talking about in the apostolic writings. But in Deuteronomy 29, you can see the outline of that covenant. And I would just want to finally say, we have joined ourselves to Yahweh when we have taken on that covenant. When we have personally said, I am going to keep your commands and your ways. And a lot of us think, well, I believe, I kind of believe, I'm sort of learning to believe. When you get to the point, you want to enter into a covenant with Yahweh and promise that you are going to keep his commands, then you become part of Israel and part of these promises. Baruch Hashem.